You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I feel like you should still have to talk about it.
Are
it's still
Cubs
a
in?
World event. No, the Brewers beat the Cubs.
Oh, okay. Got it.
No. It was the Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays. And it was a tough one. I mean, I'm kind of a Dodger fan because I lived out there for quite a while. And my son grew up going to Dodger games. So I really sort of became a Dodger fan. But I was kind of rooting for the Blue Jays because I think Toronto is such a cool city. So I was very torn. But having said that, it was this amazing World Series. Two extra inning games. Game seven
is great. I'll watch a hockey game seven, and I don't know the first thing about hockey.
So anyway, it was outstanding. A great World Series on Halloween. Was it Halloween night or was it the night before? I can't remember. No, it was Halloween.
You would know better than me.
It was November 1st it ended. So we did have November baseball. So, and we've got a great show for you folks tonight. We've got two great guests and a couple guys that, one guy who's been here before, another guy I've been trying to get on the show for quite a while. Doug Prey is a documentary filmmaker and a native Wisconsinite. He has lived in Los Angeles for decades now, but he comes back here to make movies occasionally. He is a decorated, award-winning director, and we're going to talk to Doug tonight about some of his projects. And I'm very excited to have him on the show. He was referred to me by a guest we've had on several times, Mike Mercury, who is sort of retired now, even from coming on the radio, apparently, which I think is kind of slacky. And I'm saying that just in case he's listening. Because he's a great guy. Very funny. Great writer. But anyway, Mike introduced me to Doug. Doug will be on at 6:35. We'll talk about Doug's connection. Doug has been, in his bio, it says he's lived in Los Angeles for decades, but he's been spending more and more time in Wisconsin up north on Lake Superior. That is not just escaping good weather. That's escaping good weather for pretty much the worst weather Wisconsin has, or the worst cold, I would say. Because Lake Superior is freezing. He must kind of like the cold secretly. But we'll talk to Doug about a number of things in his career and what he's got going on, because he's got a couple movies coming out that look really just dynamite. And then at 7:35, my pal Joel Murray will be here. Joel has just joined the cast of Chicago PD. It's the 14th season of this Dick Wolf, what do they call it, One Chicago series. You got Med, Fire, and PD. And Joel has just joined the cast. We'll talk to Joel about his role on the show. He's also been in Mad Men, and he has there's a cool movie coming up called Madden, and he plays Pat Summerall, the football announcer. So we'll talk to Joel. He's always a blast. He's part of the Whose Life Is It Anyway traveling show, and he's been in Wisconsin many times, a native Chicagoan. Joel Murray will be here at 7:35. Lots of fun. Got a great question tonight. I have to ask you, Amanda, first of all, how was your son's Halloween? Was it the childlike wonder that you got to live vicariously through? Did he have a good time?
Oh, I always live vicariously, and I always take part of the candy tax.
Well, of course.
Of course.
You get a taste. That's your job.
No, my son went, so the Wallers, he went trick-or-treating a handful of times. His aunt actually kidnapped him on Halloween. And took him, she's like, I scoped out all the rich neighborhoods. He's going to have a great time. We're going to get full size, all this. And it was apparently horrible. Like, no one was passing out candy.
Why?
I don't know.
It's horrible.
She's like, yeah, there was like so few houses. It was a real bust.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they didn't get a lot. And that's okay, because, you know, sure. I don't need my kids sugared up all the time.
I'm sure he got more than he needs anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's fine.
I mean, someone was passing out full size Toblerones, so that was cool.
Well, those are like 2 feet long, aren't they?
About a ruler's length,
foot?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And then someone else 3D printed these little ghosts that were whistles the kids could blow into, which is really cool if you're not the parent who has to deal with the aftermath of that.
Right.
So,
wow.
But yeah, they said there was like not a lot of houses. And that's something I noticed when I took them trick-or-treating, was there were a lot less houses than normal.
Oh, wow. That's, well, that's fine. Toblerone, isn't that kind of a... older persons?
No, I mean, it's
type
like
candy, like Toffee Fae.
Maybe. I don't know. It's like chocolate and with little nougat pieces, I think.
Interesting.
Toffee pieces.
I know they're huge. I know that's the candy Joey wanted from the airport on Friends. That's a big thing. So anyway, well, I want to ask you about this, Amanda, because I know you're a Stranger Things fan.
Yes.
Are you caught up? Have you seen all four seasons leading into season 5, which happens this month?
I've watched them all, but it's been so long since, you know, season 4. Like,
right.
I bet I forgot so much.
I stopped after season 1. I have to be honest. We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. I kind of stopped, and it's not like I didn't, like, I liked season 1. I don't know where season 2 kind of went off the rails for me. I probably should have stuck with it, but sometimes I get impatient with a show and I just stopped. So my goal is this month is to catch up on 2, 3, and 4 before 5 drops on Thanksgiving.
That's a lot of episodes.
I know. I can do it though. I'm like a Goonie. I never say die. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff coming out. I think David Harbour was like sort of by default one of the most likable actors or celebrities in Hollywood, due in part to Stranger Things. And he's in a lot of other films, too, that where he always plays kind of a smartass or kind of a dumbass, but likable. And he just, like, there was a lawsuit brought against him by the character that plays 11, Millie Bobby Brown, who said he was bullying her before they even started shooting season 5.
See, that's such a shocker, though, because when their relationship, because, like, their relationship started developing in season 1, and then in season 2, you know, he kind of, like, adopts her, and she's, like, the replacement daughter for his character. And, like, it was always told, like, how sweet he was to her, how close they were on set. They have a real father-daughter relationship. So, like, you know, when I heard you mention it earlier for your beats, like, I was shocked. I mean, I've already heard all about Lily Allen stuff and, you know,
how he was cheating on her and
how apparently brutal her new album is. Like, she read receipts in the songs and texts and all that.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't know anything about his personal life. I don't typically care about people's personal lives. I try not to anyway, judge people's marriages. I know whatever, but this is weird. And, Not that him cheating isn't. That's terrible if that's the deal, and I don't know about that. But this with this Millie Bobby Brown, I want to go, well, maybe he was using an acting tactic or something, and you know he was like him trying to father her in some weird way as a connection through acting, method acting, whatever you want to call it. But there are pages and pages of accusations apparently, and it's such a bummer because I do like the guy. I love his acting.
Isn't that an issue where method acting often just goes off the rails?
It can.
So often, like, I'm not sure if you've dealt with it, like, personally, but I mean, I hear so many stories about how it doesn't end well. Like, Jared Leto would be one of the biggest ones.
He's a weirdo, yeah.
When he was playing the Joker and he was sending, what, dead rats to the cast and stuff?
Look, the guy's got his quirks, okay? Yeah, I don't know, and I'm not a schooled enough actor. I get method and Meisner and all these different techniques, but I think when your co-star is, let's say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, what was Millie Bobby Brown? 15?
Yes.
When the show came on, maybe even younger, because I don't know, the first episode, the first season probably was longer than 5 years. So,
oh my God, the show's taken forever to just film.
It came out like
in
2014 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So the fact that you're doing this to a kid who might not totally get where you're coming from, you bail and you move on and you go, I'm sorry, but this is weird. There's so many pages, so many accusations, and it's a real drag when you find out one of your, not heroes, but I've always liked David Harbour. In everything I've seen him in, I'm a fan. So it kind of sucks. With that in mind, folks, I think it's time we not waste one more second and get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It's National Housewives Day. So tonight's question is, who is your favorite movie or TV housewife? Who is the best? Who is your favorite? However you want to answer it. Do they still call women who stay home, they still call them housewives, right? Or trad wives? There's all kinds of different...
It depends who you talk to, because it can be a sensitive term to some.
It is. No, and I want to respect that.
So I called myself a stay-at-home mom for, like, you know, the 4 years that I was. So,
yeah.
I mean, technically that's considered a housewife. I'm not married, though, but...
Right.
stay-at-home mom, housewife, trad wife is new.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
I would love to be a house husband that didn't have to work.
That's what Kevin says.
Or have to run kids around. That doesn't sound like a bad life to me, but that's our question. It's National Housewives Day. In honor of all the housewives, who is the best movie or TV housewife? You can text us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can drop us a comment on the app if that's where you're listening, or drop us a stream comment if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. Great to have you, however you're joining us tonight, folks. Be part of the show. It's always more fun when you guys participate. I'm going to go first, and I said Mrs. C on social media, which is Marion Cunningham. I'm changing that. I have a tie between Laura Petrie, who is Mary Tyler Moore on the Dick Van Dyke Show, or Gloria from Modern Family. I love her. She's so funny. And I don't know. I think she might be my favorite because she's more current. What
that's
about
a
you?
Show that's on my bucket list. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my gosh. It's a great show.
I will throw in Kitty from That 70s Show because she's a special type of housewife.
That's awesome. All right. You can elaborate on that. Let us know, folks. Shoot us a text. Be part of the show. We're coming right back. And when we do, I'm going to tell you about how our re-release did at the box office this weekend. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. So great to have you with me here tonight, folks, on a gorgeous Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you're enjoying that extra hour of darkness we got. It made my drive down a little more harrowing, but what are you going to do? At least it's in the mid-50s, Amanda.
Yeah, it's not too bad for November.
You're okay with that, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've had years where, what, you got snow in October, you're trick-or-treating with your big snow pants and your big snow suits.
Absolutely. It just makes winter that much shorter when we hold off snow, and I'm a big fan of that. I will say, Halloween was great this year. I did the show from home, which is always, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I had my prisoner costume, my go-to costume, which cost me $5 at the dollar store 10 years ago because I go the extra mile. And I had that on, and then I went over to a party for about an hour, and then I went over to my folks' house to watch the World Series, and they had a big bucket of candy, and I'm still dressed like a prisoner. And I realized that whatever it is, at my age, I cannot shovel candy in like I did when I was a kid. But my God, I probably ate 20 pieces of candy.
Okay, but which ones?
M&M's, Twix, and Snickers. And there were some Almond Joys in there too. And
oh, that's not bad.
Mounds. Those are better for you because there's coconut. And there's superfoods in there. A Mounds bar is actually dark chocolate and coconut. Two superfoods.
You know.
That's a health food.
I was going through my son's candy for safety, of course, right?
Yeah.
And
sure.
As I was going through it, I noticed an alarmingly shortage of Butterfingers and Babe Ruths. I found one in the whole bunch, and that was both my kids' candy combined.
There's good reason for that.
Don't tell me you hate Butterfingers.
I don't hate any candy, any confection. I am not a hater, but those two would be kind of last on my list. They're fine, but you can't compete with a Snickers. They are banging on all cylinders.
Like
nougat.
A Babe Ruth is like right there. The only thing that's missing is what? Like,
does it have nougat?
I think it has nougat, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. I don't really know what nougat is. I just know it tastes amazing. No, but listen, I would eat those, but I honestly, you just sit there and it's like, and then I sleep horribly. That's more sugar I've had than I had in a month. Like, it's awful, but it's so amazing. It's like a sense memory, though. You just start eating candy because it's in front of you and it's Halloween. It's not fair. Our question of the night, folks, is in honor of National Housewife Day. There is a day for everything, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Actual Feather Your Hair Day. They got everything. Is in honor of National Housewives Day. Who is the best movie or TV housewife? I say Laura Petrie from The Dick Van Dyke Show. Or if I go more contempo, Gloria
Sofia Vergara from Modern Family. And I might have a little crush on her, too.
I mean, how could you not?
But I had one of Mary Tyler Moore, too. So, did you tell me? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, elaborate on
that. Kitty yeah. from That 70s Show, because, you know, while she tries to be the perfect housewife
yeah.
and the perfect mother and peppy and happy all the time, she has the exact same breakdowns all the other housewives desperately have.
All right. That's a good one.
I mean, it's just great because when it does happen, it's the best. You feel seen.
The breakdown?
Yeah, the breakdowns.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We're getting some good text activity here, too, on the text line. Anna from the 608 says, "Hi, Pete and Amanda. My favorite TV housewife is Lucille Ball. She was always getting into something. She was very funny." Agreed, Anna. That's a great choice. Boy, I never thought of her as a TV housewife, but I guess she is. I just remember the Drake Sather show about how unrealistic that show was. The Drake Sather joke, I should say. He said, "Lucille Ball and her band director husband, Desi Arnaz, are best friends with a 70-year-old janitor and his wife." And that you just wouldn't see that in my that's how things have changed. It's terrible. It's too bad. Like, who cares? But it was a funny joke. Monica from the 608 says, "Barbara Billingsley and Leave It to Beaver. But you're wrong about housewives not having to work. They work." That's true. Wow, I fell into the trap. Of course they do. And Monica says their workday never ends. And my wife stayed home for 7 years with our kids when we were in LA. And I would come home and honest to God, I would be like, thank God I have to go to work. You're right. That is much harder in a different way for sure, Monica. No question about that. Mark from Prairie du Sac in the 608 says, "Kitty does have a bit of a wild streak though." I've already forgotten what you're talking about. What is Kitty?
From That 70s Show.
Oh, Kitty. Okay.
Yeah, Red and Kitty.
She was... Ribisi's girlfriend on Friends, right? The much older teacher. Is that the same actor I'm thinking about where they used to make out all the time in front of people and make things uncomfortable?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Who's the actress? Do you know?
I don't know. Give me a second.
See if you can find a picture and we'll post it on the stream and people can comment. Mark also says, "The moon is fantastic tonight." It absolutely is, Mark. And that made my drive down a little nicer. And I guess we're supposed to have a super moon on Wednesday. So that'll be exciting. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608, says, "Cloris Leachman from Young Frankenstein. Her front door had..." Amanda, what do you make of Tyler's text? I don't want to read something that Tyler's been commenting on women's bodies a lot lately in his texts. Tastefully.
Listen, I can't comment on Tyler personally as I don't know him. But
he's cheeky, to say the least.
It's something.
He says, "Cloris Leachman from Young Frankenstein, her front door had great knockers, although she was really just the girlfriend." He just wanted to say great knockers. Thank you, Tyler. AJ from Madison in the 608 says, "It's too expensive and we're all buying the same thing."
He was referring to the candy.
The candy, right. But are Baby Ruth's and Butterfingers just as expensive as the Cadillac of candies, the other ones I mentioned?
No, I think they're in the same price range.
Whew.
Now, I think what's expensive candy is when you're doing like the Ghirardellis or what have you.
Afford to give those out. That's crazy. All right, so keep those texts coming, folks. Turning to the stream here. Oh, Katie Siegel, Peg Bundy. PJ on the stream says, "She reminds me of a childhood friend's mom when I would visit his home." Oh, that's always nice, too. And it reminds you of an actual person. All right, folks, we are going to do the news, and we are coming back with Mr. Doug Prey, a very decorated and award-winning Wisconsin filmmaker. That's all coming up after the news. Great to have you with me. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We will never be the same. The more you change, the less you feel.
Blindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Welcome back. Oh, man, it is great to be back on the air after a wonderful holiday weekend. Hope you guys had a great Halloween wherever you're joining me from in our beautiful state or parts beyond. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We are going to get to our guest in just a moment. I understand we have a phone call, though, right?
We do. We have Allie on the line.
One of our favorites. It's Allie from the North Woods. Hello, my dear.
Hi. How are you? You almost took my favorite person, Marion Cunningham.
Mrs. C.
Off Happy Days.
Yeah.
With a little bit of Edith Bunker thrown in. Because sometimes when you're a mother, it's better to be a little clueless about what's going on.
That's a great answer.
I agree.
Well done, Ollie. You and I think alike. I had Mrs. C on there too, but Edith is another great one. So thank you very much for the call. Have a great night.
You guys too. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Ollie from the North Woods. Ollie is like always in, she's always on board when we have a food question. So I was glad that she reached out for this one. That's our question of the night. It's National Housewives Day. Who is your favorite TV or movie housewife? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app or the stream. Just text us and be part of the show. Right now, folks, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He is an award-winning filmmaker and native Wisconsinite, and I've been trying to get him on the show for the longest time. We finally made it work. Mr. Doug Prey. Doug, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. I should have mentioned you were from Madison, but I think Wisconsin is good enough, right?
Yeah, I am from Madison. Middleton, West Middleton, to be exact. That's right.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you here, and I'm looking at all your stuff today. I'm very excited to jump in and start talking about some of the things you've done, but I have to ask you first, Doug, do you have a favorite TV housewife?
Do I have a favorite housewife?
You weren't expecting these hard-hitting questions, were you?
I know. Didn't I tell you that I like really don't watch a lot of TV?
You did.
I mean, God, the favorite TV housewife. I really don't. I don't. I'm a freak of nature. I really don't watch television. I did when I was little. So yeah. The question is, can I remember the names of those housewives?
Well, you got Marion Cunningham. Mrs. C, yeah. Or
Mrs. C would do. I mean, there you go. There's okay. One right there. But I don't have a favorite because, yeah, I don't know. I think my mom just took over and dominated.
Well, that's a great answer, especially if she happens to be listening. That's outstanding.
She's not, unfortunately. Rest in peace, Mom. Oh, okay.
Well, that's a great answer, and it's great to have you here, Doug. So before we get into some of the cool things you've done, and I just am so excited to talk to you about some of your films, but tell us a little bit about you. Give us some background, if you would, for the listeners.
Well, I was actually born in Denver, but I was raised in Madison. My dad was a professor of geology for like 35 years at the UW. So if anybody's listening, and this was many years ago, but, you know, if they went to the UW and they took Geology 101, they probably had Professor Prey.
That was my dad. Wow, nice.
Along with a few others. But, yeah, and so I grew up in Madison. My mom founded the Madison Boy Choir. She was heavily involved in, music, all sorts of music stuff in that community. So I grew up with a scientist and a musician. Yeah, and it kind of made me get into film for some reason after all these years. I ended up going to college and saying, God, I think I want to be a filmmaker because I couldn't figure out what to do. And film combined everything I was into. I wanted to be in a band, but I wasn't good enough. I wanted to be an artist, but I wasn't good enough. All these different things. And film just combined everything. And then I got into documentary filmmaking because I just liked that form of storytelling. I've made documentaries now for almost, I guess, Jesus, I hate to say it, 30 years.
Wow.
Which would take you back to My Three Sons days in terms of like housewives.
Well done.
Anyway, but you know, I mean, so I've been making films for a number of years. I have lived in LA, which of course is where the film biz is. But there's a secret that not a lot of people know about Los Angeles. Is they always think like, oh, those Californians, all those LA people. You do realize that most people in LA are from Wisconsin. there's a hell of a lot of Packers fans who live out here. There's a lot of Midwesterners. I mean, you have different bars around the city where you can go be a Viking. You can go to a full-on Vikings bar. You can go to a full-on Packers bar. You can go to any bar for any you know team. I just wanted to say that because I know a lot of people from Wisconsin.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I loved, like, when we found those bars. I just felt more at home. Like, it's easy to connect with other Midwesterners, and I'm kind of a half Chicago, half Wisconsin guy, so I found both types of bars. But also, I found that the people I met out there that grew up out there were pretty normal. Like, and if they grew up in the Valley, like not right in Studio City or North Hollywood, they would act like, oh, those Hollywood yeah, types. I'm like, wait, didn't you grow up out here? And they're like, but it's as foreign to them as it is to someone from Wisconsin almost sometimes.
It's so true. I mean, when I travel and people are like, you're from LA, they just get this instant, like, you just, it's just glitz and glamour or right. like these total freaks. And you're just, you guys have no idea how Midwestern LA really is underneath it all. I mean, yes, it's California and whatever. But anyway, so I've lived out here for a while and then spending a lot of time up north on Lake Superior, where my dad is from Ashland, actually. And so been my wife and I have been spending time up there. I may actually move back there sometime soon.
I saw that you said that was in your email to me earlier, and I was like, wow, that's so interesting that you go from LA, where they have great weather year round, to the coldest part of Wisconsin.
Because Pete, I actually miss snow. I literally, yeah. I always loved winter when it came. I really did. And so I still, to this day, I guess we're kind of like opposite of snowbirds.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's great. All right. So, you know, and before I don't want to forget to say this to you, because you said you wanted to be in a band and you wanted to be an artist. Well, you are an artist with the films you make, and you may not be in a band, Doug, but you won a Grammy. So that's kind of cool. Like, I saw on your IMDb page, I'm like, so you are an artist and you won a Grammy, even though you might not be in a band. That's pretty cool.
I won a Grammy for a series that I executive produced and edited and was a writer on called The Defiant Ones. It was on HBO. It was a 4-part series about Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre. And the craziest thing is, I was super psyched that we got a Grammy for that. It was like best music film that year. It was unbelievable, but I know so many people who are in bands who are just amazing. And it was just so kind of weird and backwards. It was like, what the hell? Like, you got a Grammy and I've been making music for like 30 years. It was actually awkward, because I felt like, yeah, I made it for making a film. It'd be like somebody winning an Oscar for writing a song, which of course is also happens
yeah,
all the time.
Sure, right.
It's not, I'm not bemoaning it, and my friends were very noble about it, but it was sort of like, why do I have the Grammy amongst me? Because I know a lot of people in bands.
That's great. Let's talk about, I don't even know where to start. Like, I've got so many questions here for you and a limited amount of time, but how did you become a director, Doug? Like, you said you wanted to make films, but most people, like, when they get into the business, it's not like, well, I'm a director. You work your way up, you know, you start as either a PA, maybe an assistant editor, or whatever it is. How did you find your way into the position of directing some really cool films with some pretty big names?
Basically, I was lucky enough to get into UCLA Film School. And I was rejected. So the moral to the story, and I tell this to anybody who gets rejected to anything, ask again, keep trying. Because I got rejected and I wrote them a letter and say, you guys blew it, like, basically. and it's a long story, and there's a few details that might help people understand it. But I got in, and this guy called me way before cell phones, and he said, like, are you Doug Prey? I liked your letter. That's what we want in a producer.
Yeah.
Kind of the spirit of, like, you know, like, wait a minute, you guys blew it, I should be there. So he let me in, and I got in, and I went there. And at UCLA, you're kind of taught to be a director. You're like an all-around filmmaker. Like, you do sound, you know, you work with actors, you do documentaries, you kind of do everything. But you come out of there feeling like you can make a movie, instead of wanting to work up through the ranks. Like, I didn't want to do the whole, like, okay, I'm an AC and then I'm a second AC, or actually, that would have been how it went for me. First AC down to second. But, like, long story short, I graduated from there, and I just was like, I got to make a film, and it has to be good. And I spent 3 or 4 years making my first movie, which was called Hype. And it was about the Seattle music scene, which is, it's a music film about the birth and the explosion and the kind of the ridiculous, I'd say exploitation, it's not a political film, but kind of the way that scene just got blown out of proportion throughout the world was so amazingly weird to the people who lived there. And my film was called Hype because it was about what happens when you come into this little community and just hype the hell out of it. around the whole world.
Yeah.
And money comes in and millions of bands move there because they want to get signed. And the whole city changed from the sleepy, cool little underground, little seminal, you know, everybody drinking beer and having fun and making music into like the biggest scene on the planet, like Liverpool, you know?
Yeah.
And so the film is about that. And it kind of kicked off my career. I was, you know, it took forever. It was total paying my dues, you know, made no money. The whole thing was misery, but it worked. It actually went to Sundance and it kind of kicked off my career. And then I just kept doing music docs. And then I started branching off into other subculture docs. Like I made a film about truck drivers called Big Rig, where we drove all around the country and like all literally all 48 states. We didn't go to Alaska or Hawaii, but like, you know, and just interviewed truckers in their rigs. And that's called Big Rig. And I made a movie about graffiti writers. I made a movie about artists. I've sort of stayed in this realm of like subcultures, you know,
yeah.
Like just making docs about either artists or misunderstood personalities, I guess you could say, like people who are just like, you think they're this and you're like, wait a minute, I don't understand that person. Why are they doing this art or whatever they do? I haven't done sports movies, but mostly art, you know, art and music, you know, a lot of stuff like that.
My guest is Doug Prey. He is a native Wisconsinite and an award-winning filmmaker. That's pretty cool that you got your first film you did, got into Sundance. Not a lot of people can say that. Is it more about the idea, Doug, as to the execution, or is it a combination of both? Like when you found hype, like for a documentary filmmaker to want to throw themselves into something that could take years, you've really got to love the idea. How do you know when you have a great idea?
You know, what's funny is I don't like almost any idea I first hear. I'm not an inventor. I don't come up with my own ideas. I really mean that. Like I've made like 13 feature docs now, and I don't think I've come up with one. I don't sit there and go, I know what would be a great idea. I'm going to go. It's usually somebody else has an idea. I usually think it's terrible at first. I really mean that. I'll be like, that's just bad. That's like, you're too late. Like, it's been done 5 other times. You know, like, whatever. But then something will catch me, and it's usually in the realm of like, oh, nobody understands this. Like, I never understood this. I had been stereotyping the hell out of this thing. Or these people, like, you know, like truck drivers is an example. Like, people have stereotypes of what a truck driver was or is, right?
Yeah.
And then you get to kind of, you get into it and you start going, oh, wait a minute. This is a whole nother world. Like, that happened to me with hip hop. I didn't listen to hip hop when I grew up at all.
Yeah.
I'm not like a hip hop head. I never was. But like with my second movie, Scratch, it was about the birth of hip hop and about hip hop DJs. And once I met these guys and really got into their, I was kind of like, oh my God, there's so many people who don't see this. And then my job becomes sort of translating like what they do for like a larger audience. Not the, like they need it always, but like I always just want people to watch my movies and go, I had that totally wrong. But
Doug, let's
I
pick
get.
Up. Sorry to interrupt. Let's pick up right there. We got to do a very short break. We're coming right back with director Doug Prey.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Carolyn Appleby was played by Dora Singleton, and Harpo Marx portrayed himself.
How could Harpo Marx play anyone but himself? That's fantastic. Welcome back. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I'm talking with Doug Prey. I was about to ask you a question about Howard. Doug. Doug is a native Wisconsinite and very accomplished filmmaker, award-winning. He's won a Grammy, folks. I've never even been nominated for a Grammy, Doug. I think that's like the coolest thing ever. I've never produced any music either.
But I will nominate you.
I appreciate that. One of your films is The Power of Film, and we talk about movies pretty much on a nightly basis here, so I would love to dive into this a little more. It was an idea you stumbled across, I guess, because Howard Suber was one of your professors at UCLA. What made you think this would be a great documentary, and tell us a little bit about the documentary.
Well, it's a 6-part series. It's running on Max right now, and actually it's going to start running again on Turner Classic Movies, TCM channel, starting on November 8th again. I say that because they've done several rounds of it.
Yeah.
It's a 6-part series. It's called The Power of Film. And it's basically, if you lifted the hood on any of the greatest American movies of all time, there's this professor I had at UCLA Film School named Professor Howard Suber. And remember, my dad was a professor. So there was a chemistry. Yeah. I was his TA, and I was really close to him, and he was just he was brilliant. He was legendary. People would be like, dude, you got to take his class. You cannot graduate without taking his class. And he would like break open kind of the inner workings of big movies, only American movies, and only the most. His whole criteria was they have to be the most popular and memorable. They can't just be memorable, like a little movie that's memorable. And it can't be just popular, because there's a lot of huge, crappy movies that are really popular that you do not remember the next year. So his criteria was it has to be memorable for maybe even generations, like The Wizard of Oz or Shawshank Redemption or, you know, like, of course, The Godfather. I mean, I could name 50, but big, big, big movies. And to answer your question, this other fellow student of mine, Laura Gabbard, who's actually from Minneapolis. I told you everybody's from the Midwest in LA. She's a documentarian, but she and I were students of Howard's, and he was frustrated. He was like, I want to do something like Bill Moyers. I want to do like a series or something. And we're just like, well, let's just do it. And so it's a totally independent project. We had no funding, no company, no nothing. We just kind of strung together. We did a series of interviews with Howard, and he's brilliant. I got to tell you, he's brilliant, literally. And I don't mean like in an academic way. You don't have to be an academic to appreciate the series. It's just flat out fascinating the way he unpacks movies. And what we do is we combine all the scenes from these movies with him narrating. So you'll see like, you know, you'll see like a scene from The Godfather, and like he'll say, now here's like, check out what the youngest brother's doing. Well, this is classic. This goes back like 2,500 years. This is from the Greek story. You know, he breaks it down in a way that's brilliant, but it's not an academic series. This is not like a master class either. It's just, I would just urge anybody who's a movie fan to check out The Power of Film, not to be just self-promoting, but I'm really proud of it. It took us 8 years to complete. I edited it. Very room that I'm sitting in right now, and Laura was the director, and I co-directed, and you know, we just put it together, both of us, and we were just so happy that TCM took it, because they're like, this is exactly what we're all about. And then Max, because they're related to Max, like Max has it streaming, so we're thrilled about that. But the bottom line is, it's like, if it just goes through like the last 100 years of movies. It is not even chronological, on different themes. Like, he breaks down like heroes and villains.
Yeah.
Like, why are heroes so boring and villains so amazingly interesting?
Yeah.
You know, and he kind of like flips stuff on its head, and you just go, God, that's right. I never thought about that. That's why I like that movie. And it's just kind of, yeah, I guess I've said what I could short strokes. But, you know, it's called The Power of Film, and it's on TCM, and it's running again next weekend.
And if you want to check out Howard Suber's list, folks, go to IMDb, because it is up. He's got 60 movies that he ranks, and he obviously is not listening to the conventional wisdom. He's got like Godfather is 23, and like, he's got a great list though. These are all great movies, and I love that he has a couple comedies in his top 10. But my guest is Doug Prey, folks. He's a native Wisconsinite and an award-winning filmmaker. Doug, I noticed you received a special thanks for a movie called I Am a Sex Addict. What exactly were they thanking you for?
God, I got to really think about that one.
Keep it PG. You know what's
funny about special thanks is, man, they run deep.
It's a pretty vague category, right?
It's a really big category. God, I think that was Kaveh Zahidi. He's a filmmaker in New York. Amazing, crazy, incredible, brilliant filmmaker. And I think I must have been on his crew about 25 years ago or something.
Oh, like that's great. Hey, we have about a minute before we have to break for the news. Can I keep you through the news for a few more minutes?
Of course.
All right, absolutely. Fantastic. So with about a minute left, why do you think films stay popular based on the fact that you spent so much time with your professor, who is a film guru?
It really does go back to just good storytelling principles and things that have been around literally for thousands of years. And it doesn't matter the format. It doesn't matter if it's TikTok or a 90-minute film or a 12-part series. The same exact, very human principles that we had when we're sitting around the you know, the campfire when we were Neanderthals, and maybe we still are, are just in effect. There's really good stories that are gripping and exciting and have a cadence and a structure, and there's really bad storytelling all the time.
That is a great answer. honestly, that's a very brutally honest answer. Doug Prey is here. He's going to stick with us through the news, folks. AJ from Madison in the 608 says, Modern Family would crack me up every time, and I love her. Forget the name. Gloria is her name. She's married to the Ed O'Neill character, and she is hilarious. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, she's in the 715, says, Samantha Stevens on Bewitched. Love Ed, that show as a youngster, from Pamela. And thank you, Pamela, very much. Lori in the 715 says, good evening, Pete. For my favorite mom, I would pick Barbara Sandwich off of, I got to decipher this text. All right, we're coming back after the news, folks, with Doug Prey. Actor Joel Murray is here at 735 from Chicago PD. Thanks for being with me. It's Nightlight on a Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.